Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born anew, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "Well, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born anew. The wind blows where it wills, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know whence it comes or whither it goes, and so it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can this be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand this? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness of what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you of earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven but he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God sent the Son into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him." The word of the Lord.
When I was 14, I lived for 3 months with a blanket over my head. Not a metaphorical blanket, an actual blanket. That seems hard to believe. That seems impossible to you. I'll tell you, it was not easy. But it is what I did from February through April. It started out as a way to spite my mother. We had a very unhealthy morning routine, you could say. You see, I was not a morning person, and unfortunately, anyone's day, even a 14-year-old's day, almost always starts in the morning. Now, if Central High School had had a night shift, I think my world would have been an easier one. The alarm would go off at 7, then that's when the struggle started. I could not get out of bed in any normal way. It took work. Work on my part, work for my mom. Occasionally, when it got close to 9 and I'd already missed the bus, when school had already started, my dad would get involved. On his way out the door to work, my mom would come to him exasperated. So he would run up to my room with his coat already on and basically yell at me, which is what my mom was doing before, so it was not particularly compelling. Sometimes he would get really mad and yank the covers off of me and throw them across the room. And I would get out of bed and he would look a little relieved and leave my room and go off to work telling my mom that I was up. And I would walk across the room and get my blanket and get back in bed and pulling the blanket over my head, try to go back to sleep. My mom, hearing no stirring upstairs, would come up to my room to see my blanket-shrouded body, and she would just completely lose it. She would turn my stereo up all the way, like so loud that I could hear the cones tearing. She would bring in the vacuum cleaner and set it next to my bed and turn it on and leave it on. She would dump like one of those gallon ice cream containers full of cold water on me. I know. I did this to my mother. It was not a good thing for a loving son to put their mother through. But I was never self-reflective about the whole thing. I never thought, why is it so hard for me to get out of bed in the morning? Is there something that I'm trying to avoid? Are there new pressures of life as an adolescent that are difficult for me to negotiate? Is there something that I'm afraid of? No. I just always thought I was really sleepy. I would eventually make it out of bed. I'd have to take the city bus to school, and generally got there for second period. But one particularly horrible morning, my mom having run out of tricks the day before, and I think too exhausted to think of something new, she just resorted to putting her face next to the blanket where she thought my left ear must be, and she just screamed. She screamed for a long time. She screamed questions. She screamed the Pledge of Allegiance. The United States of America, one nation under God, indivisible. She screamed Bible verses. For God so loved his only Son that the only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him should have eternal life. She just plain screamed. Screamed high-pitched, dying animal sounds like... Finally, she collapsed, crying. The full weight of her head, which she had no longer had the strength to hold up, lying on top of mine, separated only by that thin blanket, smashing my left ear into the side of my skull. And she sobbed hard. I was scared. I knew this was different, and I knew it was bad. I felt bad. I know I should do something. I needed to do something. I should say something like comfort my mom, pull the blanket off my head, get out of the damn bed. But I couldn't figure out how to do it. I couldn't figure out the moves. The blanket was held in place like a vice between our two heads. It seemed impossible to lift her up to take off the blanket and then say, sorry, Mom. I'm sorry. I'll get up. Don't cry. I could not even make myself speak these words through the blanket. She had soaked the spot in the blanket so completely that her tears dripped into my ear. Then she got up and left. She didn't sigh. She didn't say a word. Just got up and left. I heard her moving around downstairs. I heard the back door. She'd left. I felt bad, ashamed. I held the blanket in place and sat up in bed. I held the blanket in place and stood up. I stood there. I stood there. I could not take the blanket off. I did not know what to do. Then I got mad. I got angry. I was just sleepy. Why does she have to do this to me, make me feel this way? Why can't she understand I'm sleepy? I noticed that I could kind of see through the blanket a little. It was like a loose weave, and I adjusted it a little so I could see kind of. I went downstairs. I tripped on the blanket and knocked my head into the wall. That did it. I'll show her. She'll feel bad. She made me do this. I gathered up the skirts of the blanket and went to the kitchen, rummaged in the drunk drawer for a pair of scissors, and went into the downstairs bathroom. And I looked in the mirror. I could see my reflection hazily. Felt blanket fuzz itching my face. I was surprised that the blanket-headed image in the mirror looked to me like me. It was immediately recognizable as a me I had long known. I trimmed the blanket so it didn't fall much past my shoulders. This would be more manageable. I got dressed, pulled the shirt down over my blanket head, and went to school. Now, you think that the world is a hard place to negotiate as a teenager with ever-increasing independence and pressures to conform and a growing understanding that your identity is in flux? Imagine going through that, but with a blanket over your head. The world becomes hard and ugly. Strangers would mock me. People were so irritated when I kept knocking into them on the bus and sticking my hand in their face while I was reaching for the backs of the seat to steady myself, stepping on their feet. I couldn't see. I had no peripheral vision with the blanket. I barely had any vision. It was fuzzy blanket vision. Friends became tormentors. Who's going to hang out with a guy with a blanket over his head? I was sent to the principal's office by every one of my teachers for refusing to take the blanket off. You can't make me, I would tell the principal, teachers, anybody. It's not against the law to have a blanket over your head. And I guess it must have been true because they never made me take it off. Kids would try to grab it off, but I would hold on to it. I would pull it down tight around my head, using my neck muscles and my body to resist and yank it out of their grip. I was unhappy and mad most of the time. And my mom? Man, my mom. My dad just removed himself from the whole thing. Hey, you want to go through life with a blanket on your head? Fine. It's weird. And I'll tell you, it doesn't do much for your prospects for the snow days dance, but that's your choice. My mom. Well, I did start getting up in time to go to school. My mom would come in the room, shut out the alarm clock, and say, it's time to get up. And then leave. And I would get up. The hardest part was going down to breakfast. I would walk in the kitchen. My mom would see me with the blanket over my head and let out a sigh, sad and mad at the same time. I would catch a glimpse of her through the little hole in the blanket, and it would hurt. She barely said anything to me. Hardly anyone talked to me. I was starting to disappear. I don't know if I was starting to disappear or the world was starting to disappear. I'm not dumb. I know how crazy I was, but I couldn't make myself take the blanket off. I couldn't make myself. Shame and anger hardened into resolve, into habit, into a kind of a horrible comfort that made it impossible to imagine a world without a blanket over my head. Well, not completely impossible. I mean, I wanted to be free of the blanket. I wanted to see the whole world, not just the fuzzy, obscured bit. I wanted to, like, smile at people and have people smile back. I wanted to live my whole life, not just this little part that I'd reduced it to. I wanted something that I didn't quite know how to say. Like, I wanted a do-over. I wanted a do-over. I was started by the crash of a plate. I looked up and I could make out through the blanket that my mom had dropped a plate of toast on the tile kitchen floor and was now moving towards me quickly. I did not know what to do. Brace myself? I quickly turned my back to her. She put her arms around me from behind and pulled me close against her. I leaned back into her, wanting to feel her whole body, to be close, almost a part of her. Then she slowly slipped her arms from around me and put her hands on the top of my head, and I could feel her like scratching or something with her fingers, and I leaned my head back against her chest. She was picking at the blanket, making a small tear in the blanket at the top of my head. Then she was able to get two fingers from both hands through that hole, and she slowly began to rip the blanket open. I pushed hard with my head against the tear. I could feel the air as the crown of my head emerged, and then with one last rip, the blanket tore completely in half, and I was free. I was blinking my eyes against the light. My mom spun me around and held me at arm's length to look at me. We both broke into tears. She pulled me tight against her and held me. I could feel her tears wet on my forehead. and I could not stop smiling.